the new Deadpool trailer the best thing since sliced bread and give you a new appreciation of the word wet? Is Punisher every bit as brutal and violent and glorious as you expected? And most importantly, are we here to talk about all that on Marvel Movie News?
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, my merry Marvelites. Welcome to Koi Movie News, where we slash I talk about everything Marvel and why you should be as excited as I am about all the studios and all the glory coming from everyone for Marvel. Now, this is a very special episode. I personally think this show is by the fans for the fans, and I want to involve the fans. So this episode is, you're my guest. You guys are with me. I want you involved. I want you here. The dear Ollie is going to be running the game. Ollie, yeah. Dreamboat is in the live chat handling his business. I do not envy his position. He is the moderator. He is the eye in the sky. He is Uatu and the collector. He's doing a lot.
You're too kind.
He's running the game.
You're way too kind.
So
yeah, I thought this was about you. It's Koi Movie News.
I mean, the narcissist in me is flailing with happiness. So this is episode 157. We are coming to you live from the bullpen of New York Bulletin, and you can find us on iTunes. You can subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You can find us through Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at MarvelNewsPTN or Popcorn Talk. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/MarvelNews, and if you retweet a link to the show while we are live asking people to join the live chat, as you should and might be, Ant-Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
Give me a run for my money, Koi. Ollie's producing right now. Ooh, all these camera angles. I don't know if I can keep up with you.
Oh. I'm ready. I'm excited. Let's do bullet time by episode's end with all these cameras on me? I'm just really excited. So, guys, what I wanted to do with this episode is Punisher was the most fan activity I got while watching the show. I was tweeting while we were watching it. You guys were getting back to me. I loved that. So I was like, you know what? Markia can't make it. She's at home with her family. She is having Thanksgiving. She is running the game. I want to involve you. So we're going to put up a phone number. And at any point you guys want to call, just you might have to hold a little because I'm going to be running through the news. But I want to hear your take on the news. So in between segments, I'm going to pitch to Ant-Manthony and we're going to have a conversation with you, the fans, about Marvel. And I am stoked. So starting us out, we have the first story of the week. Sony might be interested in making a deal with Fox. Now, we have talked for years, and especially last week, about the idea that Disney might be merging, and we don't know what that would entail. We don't know what's going on with the merger. We do know that those talks have stalled, but now with the Sony talks, that could mean Spider-Man and X-Men, Spider-Man and Fantastic Four, and that to me would be a bit less of a jarring Disney owns everything situation. I love Disney, I love what they've done, I love their universe, but there is a point where one studio having everything, we've talked about this ad nauseum, has concerns. Now, the Sony idea is interesting because Sony, we know, plays nice. They've played nice with Spider-Man, they've played nice with certain characters. We could have the opportunity of having that universe be very interesting and fleshed out, and then if Marvel wants to put out 3 movies a year, that's great, but we don't want them to only have those 3 movies. If Fox can put out a couple and Sony can put out a couple, I love having 6 movies a year. I don't know about you guys, but I want as much as possible. So I love this idea. I love these talks. Washington Post reported that it's very informal. A few people have said that it's not happening anymore once again, but I mean, what do you think, Ali? Like, that's exciting.
Well, JSOP4 in the chat says Sony plus Fox equals twice as bad movies. So I kind of agree with that, but also Fox, you know,
Logan. Deadpool. Exactly. They're working on
it. Exactly. They're really trying to, you know, learn from their past mistakes. Mm-hmm. So Sony, I think I'm a little worried with Sony personally. Yeah. But
New Mutant trailer, very different. We've got Deadpool that looks incredible. We're going to watch that trailer. I feel like Fox is taking a lot of risks because they've done the traditional route for so long. They're like, you know what? So if Sony teams up with them, I could see some things. I also agree. They have had some foibles. So we'll see what happens there. But time will tell. We'll see if anything actually comes of it. But the fact that there's still talks means that it sounds more and more like Fox is actively looking like, please buy us. Like someone just pick up the phone. So we'll see. And speaking of Fox, Gambit has a working title, officially. The working title of Chess is interesting because that you know, like the gambit is a very common chess term, mm-hmm. and it makes sense to have that little pun, that little play on words. So if you see chess on a big yellow sign filming in your town, and you live in New Orleans especially, that could be your boy Che Tates running around your town. And then Omega Underground says that the title Forevermore is a working title they're working on, so that's intriguing. They're doing location scouting in New Orleans right now. They're set to begin filming in early 2018, and they just cast your girl, Lizzie Kaplan.
Yes.
Now, Lizzie Kaplan has been an incredible force in so many movies, and Masters of Sex. Like, she's a titan of just power.
Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Cloverfield.
Cloverfield. She's so great in Cloverfield.
She's awesome.
When she pops up, you know there's going to be a certain, like, spunk and charm, and she's just, I like her, like, strength. There's something to Lizzie Kaplan. Mm. So that's what they wanted in a female lead opposite Gambit, because Gambit's like a charming Lothari. Like, the guy, you need to have a woman to tell him he's wrong. So I like the ideas of Lily Kaplan.
Do you think she would possibly be Belladonna? CLKO asks.
I love the idea of her as Belladonna. I love the idea of her as Rogue.
Rogue.
It would be skipping a lot.
Yeah.
But at this point, the pros and cons of Fox, they like to go, so if anyone's going to do it, I could see her as Rogue.
I didn't think of that. Because I'm thinking, like, okay, the Gambit film's not going to feature her.
Yeah.
But I would love Lizzie Kaplan to tackle Rogue.
I just think that she has the vulnerability and the strength. And that's the dichotomy of Rogue. Rogue has to be strong, but also know that she's always hurting because she can't feel.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a hard life, and you need an actress that can really rock that. So
we haven't seen that side of Rogue in the movies yet.
We haven't. We've seen Hooded Rogue. We've seen...
whiny teenager Rogue. Seen,
and that's not even... I don't even blame Anna Paquin.
Yeah,
like,
I love her.
They just put her in a role where she could only do that thing.
Yeah.
Like,
very one-dimensional, unfortunately.
Didn't work. Do we have any calls yet, Anthony?
No, not yet.
Okay, internet? Call to arms, literally.
Come on.
Moving on through Fox, we're going to move on to X-Men in general. X-Men, in the Fox universe, they really are trying to make X-Men work. They're trying to build the universe up. They pretty much only own that in Fantastic Four, and as we've seen, Fantastic Four hasn't gone as well as it could have. So what's happening right now with the X-Men universe is they're expanding into solo films, which I think is a very smart move. What they're doing is they're quietly announcing big projects like this. Like, James Franco is playing Jamie Madrox. Now, if that isn't perfect casting, like, It's like someone watched The Deuce and they were like, oh, there's two of them. What if there's 20 of them? Like, it's such a weird wait until The Deuce came out. But I think he looks like Jamie. I think he has the nuance to play multiple versions of himself. I think that Jamie Madrox is a very interesting character that could run a whole movie. I think James Franco can easily run a film on his own, especially playing off himself. Tom Hardy did it in Legend incredibly. Jake Gyllenhaal did it in Enemy. I love seeing actors play opposite themselves. So I think James Franco as Jamie is great.
We have a caller.
All right. Who we got?
We got Brent from Washington, D.C.
What's going on, Brent?
Not much. Hey.
What do you think about the X-Men news, man? Doing good. We're on Fox X-Men stuff. I want your take.
Hey, what's going on, Coy?
Hey, man. What do you think about all the crazy X-Men Fox stuff that's going on, Brent?
Okay, so especially with Multiple Man, like, I agree, like, great casting in James Franco.
Yeah.
And I just think, oh my goodness, what if they create an X Factor movie down the line? I'm just really hoping for that. Because, like, Siren, Elm, Guido, like, that would be amazing. Like, Layla, she's, like, absolutely one of my favorite characters. She just knows stuff. Wouldn't you think that would be, like, a great tie-in for, like, all the side projects for all the X-Men movies?
Well, I think, like, that setting up the individual films is a great way to make the team movies work better. As we learn with Avengers, it's really cool when you care about the individuals before they become a team, so then the team feels stronger. So I totally agree. If they're setting up the foundation for X-Factor by way of, like, James Franco, I'm all in, man.
And then not to mention, they also have the rights to Quicksilver, so that whole story, especially if, like, they want to go, like, some form of M-Day, like, the whole After Effect, would be one of the iconic X-Factor storyline. Like, I really think that would be a great idea. I'm really excited for that.
So you're but all also, about Fox's moves. You like where they're going?
I kind of like it where it's going, you know. I honestly think that with this whole crossover stuff, like, maybe, hopefully, in my mind, the way I see it, as though they're toying around with the idea that maybe they're going to sell to a bunch of people, but ultimately the idea is going to Disney and Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
However, with the Sony stuff, I feel like they could use that. Like, if Fox buys is bought out by Disney. Like, they use it as, like, Fox to produce all their R-rated, like, Marvel movies, whereas Disney and Marvel keeps all their regular, you know, PG-13 rated movies, so they can have an expansion of how everything fits into each other, but at the same time stand on their own.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they keep expanding and running the game and creative choices keep getting made, as long as it keeps getting more bold and adventurous like the Deadpool trailer, we will definitely be in a good spot. And they should bring back my boy Lucas as Havoc, because X-Factor, come on, that's the way to go.
Oh, definitely.
Killed off screen, definitely. For shame. Well, thanks for calling in, Brent. I'm going to move on to the next thing, but I appreciate you so much, man.
Thanks.
Enjoy DC. You too, man.
Apocalypse.
I don't accept that as existing. X-Men Origins Wolverine Apocalypse didn't happen.
Such cannon fodder to have it. Come on.
Just like off-screen death. He's been there since First Class. Like, come on. What are you doing? But overall, I mean, I'm excited about all the Fox news. I really think that... I love that James Franco came out of nowhere. I was just like, I was running around doing stuff, and then James Franco confirmed Jamie Madrox. We hadn't even heard of that. Like, that wasn't even like a twinkle in the eye of someone. That would just happen. So excited.
It's good that he's excited to do that, too.
Because we need someone that can sell tickets to something that's so weird.
Absolutely.
A Multiple Man movie, you need to have a star in.
Yeah, not a lot of people know who Multiple Man is. Mm-mm. So being able to have someone like James Franco to sell, you know, sell movie tickets.
And they're probably doing something creative enough that it brought him in. Like, it's something bold enough, like, that he's like, I'll do a superhero movie if I get to play. Yeah.
Thinking about, like, just how they can, all the things they can do with the film, like,
On. In my opinion, James Franco is the only guy that acts like he's multiple people, because he's in college, he's a teacher, he's doing acting, he's directing. Yes. So the secret might be that James Franco is actually Multiple Man. So, and he just has him all on set. So,
absolutely.
And James Franco, if he could have any superpower, it's a guy go around and learn stuff and then recombine into himself. Like, that's James Franco.
I
so perfect casting. Moving on. Ant-Man and the Wasp has wrapped filming. That is exciting news, because Ant-Man and the Wasp is one of our most anticipated over here as far as the next wave, and I really think that it's going to be a better stake of Ant-Man. I'm excited. I'm intrigued where it goes. I'm intrigued what the flavor of the show is. I think that Ant-Man and the Wasp has potential to supersede its prior. I think it has potential to be a better sequel than the first, and I like the first, and I'm glad the same team's on board. So this one I'm excited about. It's wrapped, it's ready to roll, and Luke Cage is also wrapped filming.
Yes.
So Luke Cage season 2 is done, Ant-Man's done, Marvel is cruising right along. Yes.
It's just been a good week for Marvel.
It really has.
So props to Marvel.
Like, new announcements, things are wrapping.
Oh,
it's good.
If only another company could.
I don't know what has happened. I just know Marvel's doing really well. And speaking of Fox Television, we've got Skylar Samuels has been cast as Esme. Now, if you know X-Men comics, Esme is one of the Cuckoos, which means, I mean, that's not only Emma Frost. That assumes a lot of different characters are going to become, like, canon in this series. It also assumes that we might have multiples of another character, because Esme is part of Triplets. It's a set of characters. So I love the idea that they'd clone this one actress, maybe, or they cast people that look just like her. I'm excited. I think that's a great move.
Yeah, I need to catch up on Gifted. I didn't watch.
I'm two behind, admittedly.
I'm one behind.
So I love it so far, man. It's strong. I have no idea who Esme is. Gamer Girl. Okay, Gamer Girl. I'm trying to be in here and out here. She's a character that is one of the Cuckoos, which are a hive mind psychic set of characters that all do the same thing, and they all speak as one, and then sometimes one rebels, and it's funny because one has, like, black hair all of a sudden. They're like, I'm not part of you. And they're kind of proteges of Emma Frost. So they're really interesting characters, and especially if they don't use Emma, what that might mean. It might be like a supplement to not having Emma on the show, which would be an interesting take. And we don't have any real strong psychics yet, so that'd be a nice way to make Gifted go that direction.
Yeah, and I do like that Gifted's giving more light to more obscure characters, which is great.
Because I don't know the Cuckoos would get time in a movie, and I don't know if they'd get as much time as they'd need to not be funny. So moving on to Infinity War. We have some new promo art for Black Widow, Captain America, and Falcon. It's a Russian-run social media page, VK.com, and we have a great shot of Cap as effectively Nomad. I think Sebastian Stan leaked that he was called Nomad recently. He looks like Nomad, certainly. And I love that he's got, like, 3/4-inch sleeves, like, old-school baseball tee, and he just looked like... every iteration of Chris Evans as Cap is the most American thing I've ever seen. Like, he always manages to just embody America in such an awesome way, and the Nomad is just the same. He looks awesome. I'm really excited. We also have Black Widow looking very intense and blonde and different, which is another evolution of her character. She's had some crazy arcs. I still think she might be a Skrull. And we have Falcon off to the side, and I think we might see him as Cap sooner than later. So my theory about this image is Falcon's going Cap. Cap is going to be gone soon, and that Black Widow's been a Skrull.
You don't think Bucky will become Cap?
I think that, like, Bucky might become Cap, but I think that the way the comic went is telling that it's going to be Falcon. I think Bucky might become more of the, not edgy for the sake of edgy, but he might become more of a Nomad type character and, like, be, I feel like he's not going to be pro-government. I feel like he's not as, like, the way Sebastian Stan's played him, he's not like, whatever you say, sir. And the more Chris Evans leans out of that, I feel like Falcon might go towards the military aspect.
Gotcha.
All my theory. And I and I do think, it, after Winter Soldier, Black Widow
we
said...
We have another caller.
Oh, why, hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, who we got?
It's Daniel Drew again.
Hey, Daniel Drew, how are you, man?
Good. I was thinking, oh man, hearing the feedback is weird.
mute one, trust me, it's better.
For, since Lady Sif wasn't in Ragnarok...
Mm-hmm.
I've been having this thing in my head where, you know, obviously because of filming Blindspot, but I would love it if, you know, from what happens to Thor himself leads to where I think it's going to lead, it would be great if she becomes the MCU's version of Lady, of a female Thor, because she would be perfect for that, and it would be an easy way to get, you know, not deal with the Jane Foster-ness of it.
I totally agree, especially with the comic having Jane Foster as Lady Thor and Lady Sif being one of the best female characters Marvel has. The consistently. Oh, yeah, and, like, when she was running around in the first two Thors, I was like, oh, there's Marvel's Wonder Woman. Like, I would love for her to have her own movie, and I think that Marvel needs that. I don't want to just have Captain Marvel. I want to have Captain Marvel and Black Widow and Lady Thor. I want to have... a lot of really good. So I love that idea, man. I've heard it tossed around, and every step we take, it feels like we're getting closer to it. And if she has the availability, please.
Right. Cause I, like, way back when they were filming or whatever, she was like hopeful. Like, she tweeted out whatever she said, like, say, you know, she was like, maybe. And then, you know, they ended up not contacting her until it was, she was busy filming. So I'm pretty sure, like, she wants to be back.
Well, I think she would have gotten killed in 12 seconds. So I'm glad she was unavailable.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I'm glad she wasn't in it. Cause I was like, I'm not ready to watch her be, you know, destroyed.
But... yeah. I love Ray Stevenson and I like Zach Levi, but if I lost Jamie Alexander, I would be upset. So I'm glad. And yeah, I love that idea, man. Daniel Drew, as always, with the most comics per week of anyone on the internet. I think you're a source of wisdom. So yes, I agree. And I hope that's real.
Indeed.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our next Infinity War thing. I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Daniel.
Yep. Yep. See ya.
See ya, man.
Bye.
So we got a release date rumor for a trailer, which is where we are in society. Not only are there release dates for movies now, we are at the point where people are hype about release dates for trailers. But this one I understand. Like, for we've been twitching for an Infinity War trailer. And when we haven't watched it illegally online, we've been waiting for an official take. And rumor has it we'll get it in early December. There's a quote saying, quote, looks like the early December Infinity War trailer is confirmed. Conrad wrote on Twitter, Jeremy Conrad, formerly of IGN and Furious Fanboys. And that leads me to believe it won't be in front of The Last Jedi on for the first time. I think it'll be coming out on the internet and then it'll be attached to The Last Jedi as the first time we see it in theaters. They've been doing that a lot. I've noticed that movie trailers come out like 2 weeks before.
We got another caller.
Oh, who we got?
Oh, hey, Corey.
Markia.
Markia. I thought I knew that voice. Okay, I gotta remember who this is. Who's on line number one? Oh, okay, Markia, got it. Remember this.
Yes. I'm Markia, calling from Orlando.
Oh, Orlando. How's your holiday?
It's going great. I've eaten all the food.
Yes, as you should. So what do you think about the Jamie Madrox news?
So my question is coy movie news, huh? What?
I am living the dream of... I've actually dreamt of this moment, and here it is. I'm surrounded by my own name. I told the fans that your Thanksgiving was important and you needed to run away, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to make the fans the Markia this week. So hundreds of people have to replace you. How does that feel?
Oh, that makes me feel nice.
It takes a village.
Yes, indeed.
Marquia was actually with me when I found out the Jamie Madrox news. Marquia and I were filming something for Game Talk Live, and we were both like, what?
Yeah, it was something else, and I love that they got James Franco for that. I mean, he brings a gravitas to every role that he does. So I'm A-okay with having, and you know, especially because we kind of already killed him. So I'm happy having him back as Multiple Man.
Those movies. And have you watched any Punisher yet?
I'm sorry?
Have you watched any Punisher yet?
I've watched all of it.
Whoa, on vacation. You're a titan.
I adore the depiction of Billy Russo in it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that. I love that they went that route, and I am all for it.
So we won't do spoilers with you since we haven't gotten to that section of the show, but when you come back next week, we'll do your spoiler segment. But since you've already watched it, which I'm very impressed and surprised by because you're on vacation, what is your spoiler-free take on the show overall?
My spoiler-free take is that this is definitely a must-watch show. I don't recommend binging it like I did just because it really does go into some deep and dark areas. I mean, it is R-rated in both violence and also psychological impact, but it is worth the cathartic journey for it.
I was extremely traumatized by the last three episodes. I thought I'd like worn myself up, like I was ready and I was watching and I was like, I got this. And then the last three were so brutal. I was like, oh good God. Like it was just emotionally affecting. It was violent. It was so, there was no way to prepare for the last movie that was the show.
There really isn't any way to prepare. I mean, just know that everything that they're doing it's worth it. It is important. And I particularly like the way that they highlight things like group therapy and that you can't do it yourself and it's okay to not be able to do it yourself.
I really liked that they had every character, even the most tough and hardy. I'm agreeing that the leaning on someone. I like that every character needed someone, even Punisher. Like the fact that him and Micro were bros was shocking for me because Punisher is such a lone wolf that I was like, oh, even he needs a friend. And I really liked that they had the lack of judgment on so many things. Like that show could have easily been like, this is right and this is wrong, but everything was gray and no one was like, they didn't make the government look like evil. They didn't make people look evil. They didn't make vigilantes look evil. They didn't like guns look evil. Nothing was black and white or wrong. Everything was just like, be a better person.
Yeah. Or be the best person that you actually can be. Be all that you can be.
Wait, America.
Kind of a thing. The American. And the supporting cast is absolutely fantastic. There wasn't anybody that stuck out like a sore thumb for me. Mm-hmm. It was just, yeah, it's such a well-rounded show. And if people are okay, they can be okay with that level of violence that also comes with a Punisher show, then I'm saying yes. Yes, you need to watch this, and I want two more seasons at least.
Oh, 100%. I can't wait to see what no spoilers happens to that character and that, where that character goes. And I think they really set it up to be a long-running show, and it's amongst my favorite properties at Marvel in general, much less Netflix.
Yeah, they definitely nailed it with this. I mean, that's why I wasn't going to binge, but I kind of had to.
And like I couldn't stop because it felt the most real. I feel like obviously ninjas are involved in Daredevil and has to be, and like mind control is involved in Jessica Jones. But there were moments where it was like watching a news story, and I felt like, oh, I've experienced this, like because of the world we live in. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, this guy does not have superpowers, but he's got, you know, super grit, and he uses it.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you watched it all. Next week we are gonna have like a full half hour freakout off air, and then 20 minutes on air.
Heck yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it already.
And Runaways. Yes. Now, I'm gonna yield the mic to you. Is there any news story this week that you want to talk about before you go?
No, actually. Sorry, I was unprepared for that. was there any Black Panther news?
You know what's funny is I scoured the internet to find something so I could be like, for Marquia! And then I was like, well, we did the billboards. We did the post. Well, since Marquia is not here, Black Panther is on hold.
I don't think I had a chance to talk about the Deadpool trailer with you. Did you already talk? You already talked about
it. No, great segue.
Oh, really?
Here we go. Lead us in, Marquia. What are we saying about Deadpool?
I love that teaser trailer so much, and I wonder if anybody got the, well, not anybody, I wonder if there were certain generations of people that got the Bob Ross reference at the beginning.
I think people thought he was a meme, and now he's real. They're like, what, he moves?
I mean, when you really think about it, it's like, to us, we're like, yeah, oh my God, he went Bob Ross. He went full Bob Ross. And then everybody's like, who's this guy with, like, the, you know, the huge afro?
What's that weird shirt and jean combo Deadpool's wearing?
Why is he beating his brush?
You know what? Actually, on this note, Anthony, could you cue us up? We're going to watch the trailer with the audience. Let's do it.
You got it.
Markia, that was the best tangent from across the country I've ever gotten.
Oh, nice. I'm glad to fit into that specific little box.
Well, we'll talk to you next week, and the fans miss you dearly. The live chat is going insane.
Absolutely. Right. See everybody next week.
Bye. Have a good vacation.
Markia.
Bye.
So the Deadpool trailer was a work of transcendent glory. The Men in Black, the jokes and the box office gold, the meta humor of like the colors being movie references while we're watching a movie trailer, and the beat it like it owes you money. Like, there's so much dirty humor in this. There's so much Deadpool in this. Like, Deadpool himself is a meme, so to make the meme of Bob Ross part of Deadpool's lexicon only makes sense, but I never thought we'd get this level. Like, I was unprepared for this trailer, and the marketing campaign, I think, is already at the level that the last movie left off on. It didn't warm up. It just launched full atomic crazy. Like, there's cocaine jokes here. The use of wet is always a bit of glory in my life. I love when people say W's real strong. The super high Deadpool painting motif was just inspired choice because it gives you the lead-in of comedy. There's not a lot of footage in this trailer. It reminds you why you love it so much, and it references the fact that, like, he knows he's in a movie. Like, there's just, it's perfect, dare I say the word perfect, but it's 10 out of 10 Golden Girls for sure. The jokes, I mean, it references itself in the trailer, and then him having this little episode, and we see this footage. Now, I took some screen grabs, I'll show you guys after. This footage is like maybe 12 seconds, but it instantly reminds you, you've got a new director, the studio threw so much more money at this. The pace of the trailer was already funny. Now here's the action, and we're back in the game. I've never seen a trailer do it quite this well. And then we get the glorious poster, which we saw right before the trailer dropped, which ties into the Good Housekeeping magazine they took over. Like, and then the jokes in the credits. My favorite joke in the post credits is camera one, camera two, Wayne Campbell, because it's one camera setup. Good God. And then we get Cable. Just a peek, just a little sound. I don't know what more people could have wanted from that trailer. It was everything. That was a very quick speed in tangent. Markia set us up for. I'm very happy. Do we have any screen grabs real quick about the trailer?
Oh, sorry. We got a call? We got a call.
Bring it.
Oh, hi. I'm Bill. This is Billy.
How you doing,
oh,
Billy?
There's an echo there. That's weird. I'm doing pretty good. First off, I want to say thank you so much for the birthday shout-out I got a few weeks ago.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Yeah, I'm really psyched that I got, like, Matt Key on his last week there. That was really special.
You got a very special birthday shout out.
Yeah. Anyway, I got a question for you.
What do you got, man?
Do you think that we're going to see, like, the prototype shield that was teased in Homecoming? Do you think we're going to see that in Infinity War?
The shield? Which one do you mean?
Cap's prototype shield, the thing that Happy was talking about when they were loading
up
the plane.
Oh, yes, I remember what you're talking about. Since I didn't visually see it, my brain was like, what is he? The shield in Homecoming, since it was referenced, I can't imagine they'll ignore that. I think what's going to happen is that shield becomes Nomad Shield. I think there's going to be a thing where there's going to be two shields at play because the symbolism is impossibly strong with Cap's shield. So I think when they pass the torch, so to speak, it's going to be passing the shield. I definitely think someone else is going to wield the Cap shield, but then I think Cap is going to get hold of another shield. It's not going to be marked up. It's not going to be finished. That'll be Nomad Shield. And that way, when the fight happens, we get different imagery. So I totally think it's there. I think the reason it was mentioned as a prototype is it's not going to be spangled. You know what I mean?
I see.
So yes and no. I think it's a shield, but I don't think it's going to be Cap's per se, because I think it's going to be Nomad Shield.
All right, well, I'm excited to see that because I just can't imagine seeing Steve Rogers fighting without any kind of shield.
That's the thing. Like, they have to do something. So I think that was a really smart way to have Spider-Man, like, the movie set up something without it being too distracting, like Iron Man 2. What do you think about the Deadpool trailer, man, while I got you?
That it's hilarious. Like the first movie was hilarious by itself, and then just seeing the trailer, like the whole Bob Ross thing caught me so off guard.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, and like levels of absurd that I wasn't prepared for.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the call, man. Yeah, so I definitely think the Shield's at play. I do think that'll mean two Shields at play. But thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
Happy belated.
Yep.
Bye. All right, Anthony, do you have any of those pictures we sent in that are screen grabs of the trailer itself?
One.
There should be a couple sprinkled in nicely in the email. And then we've got some fan stuff photo-wise. Oh, there we go. So the photos here. The first one we got, I'm so excited that we got Ranjit coming back. I didn't expect him to be like a main player, but he's in a few of these photos. I think we get our ever-loving taxi driver back in a real way, which is insane. Like, can you imagine? Okay, imagine going out for a movie that was a superhero movie. Then imagine it being like a $12 budget. It's like 20, but still. And then imagine being a taxi driver, and then imagine the budget going insane because the movie went insane, and then you're in Deadpool 2. Like, the trajectory of glory that must feel. Like, to get that call.
Everyone from the first movie is coming back, so it's really amazing. Cool. And like, everyone was so strong, everyone had their own archetype, and so seeing everyone back for a sequel, it's really exciting.
And he's like strong, like in a spit yeah. shot, like it was such a character funny develop. Beat. So good. And then our next shot here is of the guy from Hunt for the Wilder People, the shining light Hunt for the Wilder People. This kid like stood up next to Sam Neill for a movie. That's incredible. And Taika Waititi obviously vouches for this kid. He I think might be Pyro.
Yeah.
Like, to me, the shot shows mutant power, not fear. Mm. Like, that is a kid doing something. That's yeah. active. That's a thing that's happening because of him, not mm-hmm. to him. So that'd be a really funny take on Pyro, I think. Because he's obviously going to play the dry humor. He's a mutant that we've seen in other movies, but I think that Colossus and such shows where Deadpool can go. That's my theory. I think he might be Pyro or something of that ilk. A bad guy. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is the money shot of the trailer. Everyone's losing their mind about Negasonic. She's oh no God. Longer a trainee. She is a full-fledged X-Men. The costumes changed. And still, I say that Deadpool has the best X-Men costumes of any X-Men movie, for shame. Like, that shouldn't be the case. This is perfect. She looks awesome. Amazing. What do you think about Negasonic?
Honestly, she was my favorite. I'm sorry, Wade, but Negasonic was so badass in the first film. So I'm so excited to see her like develop from her, you know, her youthfulness. She was kind of like, you know, teenager, but now that she's not a trainee, you know, she's kind of standing next to Colossus. They're like on the same level, kind of.
Which, I mean, that's saying a lot. Like, and then our next shot, we got a bit of a, I assume, love story, not fighting, but you can't tell when someone jumps in your arms. And it's Wade maskless, and I like that the lighting here is like half rom-com, half action scene. That was the thing I got out of this shot, was that the first movie was such a amazing use of love story that I'm really curious what the tone of this one will be. Escalation's important. It's a sequel, bigger budget, bigger action. I hope there's still that heart. I hope Vanessa still is important. Mm-hmm. And then we have the man himself, TJ Miller, looking like a dad. I love that he looks like that's a ridiculous outfit to be cocking a gun in. So the humor's already there. Like, TJ Miller just vamping is what made that movie. Like, Ryan Reynolds and TJ Miller vamping at each other is what a lot of the comedy came from. So clearly that's going to be at play here. And once again, Ranjit looks like he's a big player in this movie. I'm really excited. What do we got the next one? Oh, we have very angry, just diving in Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. The thing about Deadpool for me, and the reason I talk about Deadpool a lot, is he's my current favorite character. Spider-Man was my favorite growing up. Deadpool is, I think, one of the best characters in history, but right now the way he's being written, I think, is stronger than Spider-Man. So they're like the yin and yang in my heart, because I said it on Screen Junkies once, you either die a Spider-Man or you live long enough to see yourself become a Deadpool. The difference between the humor of Spider-Man and the humor of Deadpool is Spider-Man is funny as a coping mechanism for fear. Deadpool is funny as a coping mechanism for not killing himself or trying to. Deadpool's a broken man. Deadpool has lost so much. The man is made of pain. He's always in pain. He looks like that. He's suffering. He is broken. And I love the fact that like he handles the world the way he does, and he's lost it all. So he's the cop on the edge for the superhero world. And Riggs is my favorite regular like character. So to me, it's the cop on the edge to the extreme. And I love that Deadpool is who he is. And without these moments, the shot in this trailer, you don't have that Deadpool. And what Ryan Reynolds gets about the character, in my opinion, is the comedy comes from pain and loss and fear and concern. And even when he was a hitman, he was making jokes because it's not what he wanted to be doing. per se. He's great at it, but you know what I mean. So Deadpool is so important to me, and I love the shot was in the trailer.
Well said.
Deadpool rant. And we have Blind Al back, and Blind Al is such a fixture of the early Joe Kelly run and such a great character. I loved how they handled her in the first movie, and I love this shot of them because they're like, they're weird bros, man. I love that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see their exchanges in the next film.
She was so much fun. The IKEA scene was so important. This shot was just stunning. I assume this is on thousands of people's desktops all over the world. This shot is the action of David Leicht. I hope that's how you pronounce his name. The man made John Wick what it is, and I can't wait to see what this is. And then the final shot I think I pulled. Oh, two more shots. The second to last shot, Deadpool throwing a chainsaw with reckless abandon. It's only like 3 seconds of the trailer, but I laughed aloud so many times and kept having to rewind it. There's a shot of Deadpool just willy-nilly throwing a chainsaw. Hilarious. And the last shot I left for last, Deadpool in a casket just popping out of a... This is a comic panel to me. Like, I've seen this in drawing form. Like, this is like the umbrella placement, the color, this just feels like a comic. That single image is hilarious. To me, art. I love it. It's beautiful. I loved this trailer. If anyone, whoever next call in, I'd love to talk Deadpool with you. What did you think of the trailer, Ollie?
It wasn't enough. I loved it.
We actually got a call right now.
But not enough Domino's Aussie beats. I would have
fair loved. Enough. I couldn't even find a clear shot.
Just a little bit.
I agree. Because I found some blurry shots and her in the background, yeah. But I tried to find a clear one.
I knew we weren't going to see Cable yet.
Yeah. So. And I didn't want to disrespect Zazie with an unflattering image. Of
exactly.
How we doing, caller?
I'm doing well. Hi, Koi. It's Nick calling from Tucson, Arizona.
How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing very well.
What did you think of the trailer?
I liked the trailer. I thought it was very clever. I love the Bob Ross artistic. Funny story about the trailer. I woke up one morning. I just casually checked my Facebook, and then it was on there. And I'm like, huh, what's this? And I click on it. And it's like, oh, Deadpool released another little funny thing, whatever. And I watched him like, oh, it's a full-blown trailer, cool. And it was just awesome and funny. I laughed pretty hard.
I actually had a moment where I was watching the trailer, and I got so immersed in how funny it was, I forgot it might be a trailer. So all the marketing, it said trailer on all the marketing, but when it just was funny, I was like, oh, it's going to end with another joke. And then it went to footage, and for the first time in a trailer, I actually went, and, like, I was holding my phone incredulous and shocked for the 10 seconds of footage I didn't breathe. And it was the coolest feeling to be like, oh, I can still be shocked by media. And, like, good God, that trailer, like, my balls dropped again. And I loved that.
Yes, indeed. I'm going to admit I have not seen Deadpool 1 yet. And I'm going to also admit I don't really care that much for the character of Deadpool. And it's, I sound like blasphemy. But
not, you know what? Know. Hey, if you liked the trailer, we're still friends.
There you go.
Did you have any questions or anything, man?
I wanted to know your opinion on the X-Men Disney Marvel buyout and see if they were to buy X-Men introduced into the MCU, do you think they're going to cast like teenagers, like Stranger Things teenagers, or like people like born in like 96, 97, like 20-year-olds, kind of like Tom Holland, if they were to do that at all.
My brain just broke at the idea of someone being 96 and 21. You're right, but I was unprepared for that. I think that Stranger Things as an X-Men show would be the best move. I've always said that if they made a Goonies movie with powers, that would be my X-Men, or more my X-Men. If you made Goonies plus Harry Potter and put it in the world of the 80s, that would be how I'd make the X-Men. I would have it be a adventure story at the offset. There'd be powers, but then they'd have to go educate themselves as a follow-up. Like, reshape the X-Men movies in such a different way than they've ever done. So Stranger Things is close. Like, it's that direction. I don't think the Marvel Fox thing will ever actually see the light of day, but if it did, I know Marvel would probably do a foundation change, because they need to. Yeah. Like, if you're gonna have a new idea, you need to reshape it. And what I would do is I'd have an 8-year plan with the movies, like the Harry Potter movies. You cast your five core X-Men. Each movie, you add more, make the school bigger, but also you really need the foundation to be there. So recasting with really young, a la Stranger Things, is the way to get that foundation. So that personally, that's what I'd do.
Yeah, similar to like X-Men Evolution.
Oh, dude, if you could get close to X-Men Evolution or X-Men the Animated Series, then it would make $1 billion. We can dream. I mean, I always hope, but for now, I've got Deadpool to keep me warm.
Yep. All right, Coy, thank you.
Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks for my call.
Absolutely. Have a good one, dude.
You too.
So while we're on Deadpool, I want to hear the end of your thoughts.
Well, I just really wanted to see Domino's honestly the most she's the character I want to see in action. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just want to see her do, like,
she had one shot of the trailer stepping out from flame, it was so hard to even capture that I was like, bleh.
I'm just so interested in seeing how they're going to incorporate her luck power.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, that's what's going to be.
It's going to be so funny. I'm just thinking of all the things that they can do with that.
Like, well, because the comedy and luck, there's the one shot that was just back. Literally, it's her walking through that doorway in fire. Yeah. It's the tiniest, like, I tried to grab it, and I was like, I don't think this is anything you can see. That is where she is. anyway, like, Domino, her power in a comedy is going to be really interesting. I totally agree. And I think the casting is really interesting because I've seen her in Atlanta, and her dry comedy is hilarious. So if they make it a dry comedy in action, yeah.
We didn't see Colossus, which kind of...
He's in the poster. It was 10 seconds. But yeah, overall the trailer, and we've got a quote about what I said about her being a trainee anymore. Steven Kopasek, the actor that plays Colossus, I'm sorry I didn't know how to butcher that name any less, said, quote, "She's progressing, as you can see. She is not my trainee anymore. She definitely has approached the new level of X-Men, as you can see. Even the haircut. All the characters. The good thing is we have upgraded on so many levels." I loved her in the first one. I can't wait to see her as a full-fledged X-Men.
It's all about the faux hawk.
It's when you know. You've evolved.
On. Captain Marvel, step it up.
She's
the faux hawk.
She's Charmeleon now. She's not Charmander anymore. She's not Charizard yet, but she's Charmeleon at least. Gotta give it time.
Deadpool 3.
X-Force, she can be Charizard.
Okay.
Evolution, takes time.
Okay.
But yeah, I loved her in that. The trailer made me really happy. I loved the internet losing its mind. I loved getting to lose my mind with the internet. Once again, the reason for this show today is I had the most interactions because of the Deadpool trailer and then Punisher, and I really love you guys. I really think that, like, what makes comicdom work is the fans, and what the fans do for comicdom makes comic movies better. Like, it's this beautiful cycle. It's like the water cycle, you know? It has to rain for it to go back up, and without the communication, the studios don't know what to do, and I think that's where a lot of things get lost. And I think Deadpool happened because of the fans, so Deadpool 2 is happening as an escalation because of that. Mm-hmm. And we need to be more vocal. We need to have these conversations. We need to... What I'm saying is tweet more, tweet often. I will get as many as I can, and let's make our voices louder. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Let's all retweet and grow.
First Deadpool took for a while.
11 years, man.
It took time, and I think maybe hopefully Gambit follows the same structure of that, taking time.
And then it's right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather them take their time and do it right than have X-Men Apocalypse.
Were you going to talk any more about Punisher this week? Or?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do Punisher next. That's our last segment. We're going to end on Punisher. We're doing good, actually. We're 41 minutes in. We got a lot of time for Punisher. So... that is the Deadpool stuff. I love the excitement of you guys. And I briefly, because of the fans, I want to watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. trailer for the very first time. I have not seen it yet. I want to watch it with you guys. It dropped either yesterday, I think it was yesterday. And let's do it.
Life is a fragile thing.
So they're in space this season, if I remember correctly, which is exciting how it ended last time. I love the alien, like, the makeup already looks great. It looks much more expensive than another show that came out this year. I like the action directing on the show. I love that it doesn't look like a cheap 90s sci-fi. Like, even the spaceship looks good. Like, and that really makes a difference. If you have good actors and a bad set, it hurts.
It's a lot more dark, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like your typical season of
No, it doesn't look too bright. I agree. The darkness really helps it. And Coulson's, like, so impossibly charming. Like, leaning into that actor is such a great move. Clark Gregg is strong. I'm intrigued by the fact that this plays like an Alien trailer.
Yeah.
Like, they're leaning into the fact that scary space stuff, it looks like. There's lasers and guns and mad. Like, this trailer is not what I expected.
It's very claustrophobic.
Yeah, that's a great point. See, to me, that doesn't look like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. trailer.
And that budget looks good.
It looks great, So, I mean, that's a great pitch, ABC. Strong pitch. I wanted to give you guys an honest take on that trailer. I hadn't seen it yet. It looks like a space horror movie. But that's awesome. Cool. Thanks, ABC. I also briefly wanted to mention, before we go into the Punisher, we're going to end on Punisher. And we also have a lot of cool fan stuff. But before we get to that, Brian Michael Bendis tweeted a really crazy tweet. He said, quote, "All I'm saying is, if this was all a huge play to get a DC-Marvel crossover going, that's pretty badass of me." What? I never even considered that. Marvel has been doing very well with Bendis for years. Bendis has been creating many characters like Jessica Jones, reshaping Spider-Man, doing a lot. Now he's at DC. We've covered that briefly. If this was some sort of amalgam thing, like the amalgam, like what? If that can happen? Like, I'm the biggest proponent for Marvel and DC getting along. I'm the biggest proponent for Justice League. I want it to do well. I want it to have long legs, because the more those movies do well, the more other studios take risks. Mm-hmm. Bigger is better for budget for most things. We learned that. Mm-hmm. Like, they need money. I want Justice League to do well. If Bendis going to DC means a merger of those storylines, I would be the happiest little boy. What do you think about a DC crossover?
I just feel like this is just too much of a teaser, or maybe he's purposely doing this just to see how the fans react.
Yeah,
exactly. But like, it's almost. I don't want him to say he's trolling, but like, I don't see this happening anytime soon.
Oh, I don't either.
You know, so I'm not getting my hopes up yet.
I just had to mention it because I lost my mind. Like, I feel like it's probably not going to happen. But I rarely see tweets that I go, could this change everything? So like, it could, if that happened, it would change everything.
That Bendis, he likes the attention. He already moved to DC. So. True.
Because the Amalgam Universe was in the 90s. We haven't even touched on that in years. And we used to have team-ups all the time. Batman, Superman team-up, Superman, Spider-Man team-up with Ali. There's a ton of great Punisher and Archie team-up. Like, there's a lot of great different studio team-ups, and it's been a while, I think. Mm-hmm. So I'd like it for a little pop. So, maybe. We'll see.
I'm looking at you, chat. What do you think? What do you think, chat?
I want to do some talks about Punisher, and then we have all sorts of glorious fan questions and the like. So now is the time. Once again, phone numbers should be on the bottom of the screen. I'll throw it up again in the live chat, and if you guys want to call in and talk Punisher, now's the time. But in the meantime, Punisher. We're going to open spoiler-free.
We got a caller on the line.
Perfect.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going? This is Zach.
How's it going, Zach?
Hey, Clay.
Where are you from?
Very good. I'm calling Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island.
Ah, I like Providence.
Yeah, so right near Boston.
Yeah, boy.
Cool. Yeah, I know you guys are talking about Brian Bendis right now.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Someone else wants to talk. No one, all my friends, I've been like, guys. And no one was like, cool, great, good story, bro.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan. I know you're a big Spider-Man fan, and I'm actually really got into Spider-Man after the Miles Morales run.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of introduced me to Bendis, and I was just kind of curious if you've talked about any DC characters that you'd like to see him work on.
I would love to see a Superman that feels human. I know he's not a human, but I can't identify with an alien. You know what I mean? Like, I want a character that makes Superman feel vulnerable, and I want to feel like it's not a plot point. Does that make sense? Like, if I'm reading a book, I need to at least identify with them. And I think Bendis does a really good job making characters that seem like you can't identify with them, like you. So I'd love for him to tackle that. I obviously want him to tackle Batman, but I feel like that's the go-to. I feel like everybody's like, Batman! I really think his take on Green Lantern could be something special. I think he writes really quippy dialogue, so this is ridiculous. But if you wrote Kyle Rayner, like 90s Green Lantern... If I'm reaching to hopes and dreams here, I also would love to see him write Superboy, like Con-El, like old school leather jacket Con-El. Like I would really appreciate that take on the character.
I could see that.
Cause he writes playful, and if you take it too seriously, it doesn't work. And sometimes, the character has to fit the writer and vice versa. So those are the ones that came to mind when I heard about it.
Cool.
What about you?
I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I'm a big Flash fan, and I would just feel like it would kind of feel similar to a lot of the Jeff Johns runs if you were to take that on.
Totally.
So I'd be interested in that on my end. And then back to a quick Marvel Comics question. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how you're liking the Legacy stuff and if there's any of those runs that you might suggest.
So I love the actual Legacy, like the main title, a lot. If you haven't read issue one, there's a great surprise at the end of issue one that I somehow did not anticipate. I feel like I was blindsided, and I don't get blindsided very often, and that was really cool. Because especially since it seems so... I love twists that seem obvious in hindsight, and you're like, oh, duh! And it definitely had one of those. Let's see, my favorite Legacy stuff right now. They're only an issue or two in yet, so I can't quite tell how much I like it. I enjoyed some of the one-shots leading up to it. I liked the Spider-Man one because it was like, it played the time paradoxes. It had Miles back in the 60s. I really liked the Thor one, if I remember correctly. Which one? Actually, you know what? I'm going to look in my phone because I write my grades down for each comic like a crazy person. Which ones are you enjoying?
Oh, no, that's a good way to keep track. Me, I haven't gotten too into them yet. I was reading mostly the Thor, and I only read Legacy 1. That's really kind of the why I was asking. I was wondering where to head to next.
So I've got written down, I'm going to look for big numbers. I liked Avengers, okay. Avengers 672, I thought was like an A-, so it was pretty strong. I really enjoy. Oh, dude, it's not quite a legacy comic, but Venom is shockingly good. Since Bagley took over the art, the writing seems to have changed with it. I know there's a new writer, but the writing, the whole tone of the comic has gotten really good. I feel like they're making the movies. They're like, we should make Venom relevant. So Venom's kind of like a legacy take because the numbering changed, but Venom's really strong again. I'm liking where Spider-Man's going on the way of Slott leaving. Dan Slott writes a Spider-Man that I'm personally not that big of a fan of, but the way he's writing Spider-Man right now is the most I've liked Dan Slott. So right now, Amazing Spider-Man is getting there. And then personally, I really enjoyed, which one is it? Incredible Hulk 709, and Mighty Thor 700 were both pretty strong.
Awesome.
So
cool. Well, thanks for
that's a lot of books. But, absolutely, man. Thanks for calling in and thanks for wanting to talk Bendis. Cause I think it's really exciting.
Oh yeah. No, I can't wait to see what he does.
Yeah. Either way, I'm buying a lot of DC books and that excites me.
Yeah. I mean, Marvel news, but like Doomsday Clock drops tomorrow, so that's a big one.
Oh, I'll be there.
Coming in. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Get back to the stream.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Bye.
So, moving into what was I just about? Punisher. Punisher was for me the most grounded, brutal, emotionally jarring character study of a Marvel character to date, which is a very big statement. It had time to dive in. A lot of people don't like the 13-hour setup. I love it. Even when an episode is slow, I think it earns that because it gives me so much time to just chew on these characters. I think that without the 13-hour set, I thought Defenders felt too fast. And that's, I know I'm in the minority here, but I really like, I never thought I'd care about Micro, much less his family. I was so invested in Micro's family. Like, this is a show about Punisher, and I'm invested in a side character of a arguably, so far to date, B-list Marvel character, and I'm invested in a side character's family. That is only possible through Netflix's 13-hour format. I think they're doing a brilliant job. I really liked that they set it up to chew on scenes, because without the brutal violence, the show's actually about a guy dealing with the fact that he's morally jarred by everything he's done. He doesn't know right and wrong to him, and that, I can't imagine waking up and not knowing how you felt about every single one of your decisions and then doing more of them knowing you might regret it the next day. Like, that's a hard way to live, and I really liked how they handled the bromance between Micro and Frank. I didn't think I'd ever see Frank have a bro, and it was beautiful and it was funny, and I cried twice watching the show. And it's Punisher? Like, wow. you tell me 2 years ago, not even five, not ten, tell me 2 years ago I'm gonna cry in a Punisher show, I'll be like, that's a lie. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. It's some of the best, I dare say gore, but it's some of the most effective gore because you feel the bullets, you feel the impact. I'm from Boston and the marathon was very affecting to me. It was very, personally jarring. And, the guy that lost his leg went to my middle school. The image of Boston Strong, that is my life. There's a scene in this that gave me chills because it reminded me of the Boston Marathon bombing. There's a scene that looks like news footage from that event, and that is why the Punisher is so interesting, because it's a character that is real life. Any of these things could happen. Any of this could occur, and even the slight spoiler, I won't say the thing, but even the last episode, the thing that happens to set up season two with a character is real, and they didn't go supernatural. They didn't go too big, and I was really impressed by how grounded it was. This might be my favorite Netflix series. I also maybe just be more prone to crying now because This Is Us. I watched too much This Is Us. So the floodgates. But I really think it was the strongest of the Netflix so far. It had all of the strengths I thought Jessica Jones did, and it didn't have some of the distractions I thought Daredevil did. Daredevil was great, but when they went off on like Elektra storylines, I was like, I'd like Matt back. And this show didn't have that. For me, every character, I wanted to know more about their arc. I wanted to know where it was going. Punisher was stupendous, and I get the criticisms. I get why some people didn't like it. It was great.
That's so interesting that it's so brutal and violent, yet it's one of the most emotional.
It was Marvel the dichotomy. Netflix. God damn.
That's awesome. What would you, if you could say anything to people who don't like it, how would you respond to people who don't like it?
I think it's a show that is telling a very difficult thing. And I think the moral of the show is something that a lot of people might not agree with. So it's hard with the character's intrinsic nature to change that. I also think the show handles a very difficult subject matter without being biased. The show wasn't leaning left or leaning right. The show wasn't like military's bad, guns are bad.
It was a huge gray area.
It was all gray area. And the beauty of the show was every single character, even the baddest of bad guys, there's moments of like, oh, I could see how that would happen. Oh, I can empathize. Oh, am I a bad person? With everyone. Like the reason he worked so well in Daredevil season two is because you were like, oh, the Punisher's not, he's a monster, but he's a good monster. Like, they didn't let Punisher walk that. Tom Jane, heart of gold, when he played the Punisher. There was something in him you were like, but he's great. Ray Stevenson played him as like, bruh, smash! Mm-hmm. And then Dolph Lundgren played him as like, kind of a dick. John Bernthal played him as a force of nature. You can't get mad at a hurricane. You deal with a hurricane. Sometimes hurricanes have to happen. That's terrifying. And then the show gave us 13 hours to go like, I don't know how I feel about this gun-toting hurricane. So I loved it. I thought the villain was one of the stronger villains. I mean, Purple Man is probably the strongest for me. I love Purple Man. But, like, I really cared about Billy Russo. I really love, there's a scene where they talk about Billy Russo's like, I was named after Billy the Kid. And it's this beautiful allegory for Punisher and Billy that plays to Billy the Kid, who's a real life folk hero. And like, I never would have thought of that allegory between Billy and Punisher, but it's totally a thing. And like, they just gave Billy so much more to play with. And I, good God, it was a really good show. I loved binging it. I had to actually stop and be like, I'll appreciate this more and more awake. And then like, wake up the next morning and watch it again. It was, and there was nods to like the Gnocchi family, like we wanted. There was stuff straight out of the Ellis comics. I also like, I'm extremely, there was a lot of commentary on like stuff that I didn't expect the show to touch on. Wow. There's 2 to 3 LGBT references in a strongly positive way.
Wow.
There's a scene with Punisher and a guy in the opening episode in a stall, and guys think they're having gay sex, and it was taken as a positive joke.
Oh my gosh.
But I rarely see gay sex as a joke that isn't making fun of gay people. Yeah. It was like a positive joke and affirmative. There's also a scene where like a character's, kind of spoiler alert, completely whips his dick out and they don't make it weird. And I was like, what is this, like the most woke show and it's about gun violence? That's like amazing. I was shocked at how far it went. I really dug it.
Yeah. I'm excited to actually watch it now that you're like reassuring me. Like, I'm okay. It's going to be okay. Koi is assuring me it's going to be okay.
And it's brutal, man. Okay. It's really brutal. So I feel like that's as far as I can go without going into spoilers. Do we have any calls? A few people in the live chat are saying they can't get through. Any luck, Anthony?
It's open. I'll put that number up again.
Okay, cool. Senior Nerd and a couple people have been trying to get through. So the show, spoiler free, that's about all I can say about it. Spoiler full. I couldn't believe how brutal it was. The Jigsaw transformation, the way Jigsaw becomes Jigsaw, you feel it because they didn't do the Netflix thing where you have like half a season villain, half a season. For once, they were like, let's have Jigsaw.
Okay.
And then when we got a caller?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Hello, hello?
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 Hey, it's Colt. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Colt?
I figured I had to try to call in, at least try to, at least.
How's the Star Jammer up there?
Cold. It's oddly cold.
What'd you think of Punisher, man?
I had to like take a break, like in between it, for sleep.
Yes.
But also for just nerves in general.
Totally, dude.
Because after a while, when you're just sitting there, like, and you're just breathing hard yourself, like you're just sitting there, like, how did this show make you feel this way? But it does. It's one of those shows very similar to Jessica Jones where it makes you feel a certain way, but you're glad.
Star Jammer is in space and we've been jammed.
Oh, no.
You know what? Actually, we are both running out of time and We didn't do much spoilers. We only talked about Jigsaw. Next week, with everyone. We'll have guests. We'll talk spoilers.
Yeah.
We'll set us out of time next week for full spoilers. So, spoiler-free today. We're going to stay spoiler-free.
Give everyone time to watch.
We didn't even say how Jigsaw happens. We just said that it happens. We did very well. So, no spoilers this week. We lost Colt in the Star Jammer. But I briefly, Anthony, I want to breeze through a couple questions real quick, and then we're good to go. We're going to do spoilers next week.
Sounds good.
Joe Hill, I want to send a shout out to you. Joe Hill was awesome while I was doing Twitter stuff. He said he wanted to buy me a beer, and I say, anytime, Joe Hill. Question, do you have to see Daredevil Season 2 to enjoy The Punisher? Have to? Absolutely not. Does it help? Yes. Karen Page is in Daredevil, and she's in Punisher. That relationship really fleshes itself out in Punisher. Their relationship is beautiful, and I loved it, so it helps. But you don't have to. They do a really good job setting it up. We've also got a picture. I want to wish a very happy birthday to this man on camera. This is Ash Arnold, and he is turning 21 on Saturday, and he met the man himself, Deadpool, and he's dressed as Matt Murdock. So I am all about this happening on screen. So a very happy birthday, Ash. That is a rad cosplay, and that is an awesome Deadpool you met. I also want to shout out to Drew Worth says they wanted to talk directly about gun violence, but their work on the character in PTSD made it so captivating. Can't wait to see what they do next. I thought they did both really well. I thought it touched on gun violence. I thought it touched on PTSD. I thought it talked about a lot of things without beating you over the head with it. Next week, we'll talk more about the themes and the spoilers because I don't want to. It just came out Friday. Talking about themes is a slippery slope. Let's see. Eric Sabio kept saying he'd only watch the opening until the credits, and I was like, guy. Jokes for days. Someone said the only thing they didn't like about it didn't feel too Marvel-ish, and I thought that was one of its strengths, personally, because it felt like that could happen any day, any time. So, John Anderson, I agree. I just thought that was a smart move with the Punisher, because the Punisher, too Marvel-y, like, it's a guy, and you don't want to go, you know, too far. I talked about Marvel and DC. I wanted to both do well. I love this question. Fina Ortiz asked, if you could only have one Marvel TV show that you could put yourself in, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Runaways, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, etc., which one would you choose? If you could be in one.
Runaways.
Runaways.
Yes.
Nice.
Just because I look so young. And that's true. I fit in, so.
You could be one of them. All right. Into it.
Plus, I love Gert. Gert's awesome. She's my favorite. So.
I think I would go with the Defenders. I'd go with the Defenders because that show was lit and the music was so awesome that whenever I felt like I was like in a musical, I'd be like, oh yeah, look at this hip hop cue. Oh wait, Daredevil's real. Oh, Iron Fist. It's like it's the culmination of all Marvel goodness. And there's also like bitchin' visuals
and
soundtrack.
You have to deal with Danny, but
It's fine.
You got Jessica.
But I live in like a 500 Days of Summer world, like where stuff just happens and lighting's awesome. Colt, what's your wish list for next wave of Marvel films? That is far too big a question, my friend. Next week, we'll talk about next wave of Marvel films. Punisher Season 2, Hopes and Wishes. That's not safe without spoilers. We'll do that next week, too. If Bucky becomes Cap after Avengers Store, what story would you want to be next? I would love if Bucky becomes basically the renegade full nomad, because I know Chris Evans is going to touch on it here, but if they make Cap Falcon as Cap proper and Bucky as Cap that like deals with the new Avengers, I'd love for it to split. I'd love New Avengers and Avengers and have two different versions of that entitled leadership. And then someone sent us pictures. We have the pictures of the Punisher on the,
I believe we do. If not,
and then we'll wrap up after this.
If we don't, then we can always show them next week, but I think we do.
Yeah, we have. Just give me one moment.
Okay, and then while we're doing that, someone asked me to koi cast a Fantastic Four movie. Good God. Idris Elba as Dr. Doom. Billy Crudup as Mr. Fantastic. Zac Efron as Human Torch.
Oh.
Emily Blunt as Sue Storm. And...
From The Thing?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of someone worthy. Because the voice is so important and it's got to be so awesome. And The Thing. Joel Edgerton, maybe? Joel Edgerton's so good at, like, with his eyes and his voice is so great. I'll think on that. But those are my
That's a really hard one to
It's
cast.
Really hard.
Because I would say Dwayne... The Rock Johnson, but...
As Best Thing?
But he's in DC.
Rock as a character made of rocks is inspired. Love that so much.
I got the photos up.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to close out on these photos. I love this. A train stop, a subway stop, is promoting the Punisher show in Toronto at Castle Frank the Stop. So they put these up, and that is the coolest thing. Like, what a great marketing campaign. How cool is that? Like... I just thank you, Toronto. Everything about this makes me happy. I don't have time to go through it and read it, but I want to thank Chaotic86 for sending us these. I've loved the internet response, guys. Twitter's been amazing. I love how much you guys love Deadpool. I love how much you love The Punisher. Next week, we'll talk with spoilers. Next week, we'll talk themes. Next week, we'll talk season 2 hopes. Next week, Ollie will have seen some of it because I sold him on it today.
Yeah. I pitched him. Runaways.
And I will watch Runaways. Yeah, we didn't have time for Runaways because I just finished Punisher. So Runaways, I'm starting tonight. Next week, we'll do Runaways, Punisher season 2. This has been Koi Movie News. You can find me at CoyJandreau on Twitter and Instagram. Where can they find you, sir?
Find me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer and The Runaways After Show on AfterBuzz TV tonight at 8.
Yes, and we are thinking about starting up a Patreon soon, so if you guys have any ideas about what you'd like to see, if you want more shows like this, if you want less shows like this, if you want more call-in, you want maybe to try some Skype stuff, if you want to do any of that, also I want to start up a fan art segment of the show, because I love when you guys send us fan art. So please, we want to be more involved with you. I want to be more involved with you. I love you guys. This has been Marvel Movie News. I will see you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.